there a doctor in the house?
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Doctor.
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 And doctor.
It's time for Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Rashid Batar.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
A doctor, not a mechanic.
I'm a doctor, not a coal miner.
The doctor is in.
All right, Dr. Rashid Batar, it's time once again to do some advanced medicine on the airwaves around the world here. RobertScoutBell.com, AdvancedMedicine.com. There's so many more ways to plug in. And Dr. Batar, we're going to talk about an interesting thing back in our day about a Red Scare. But before we go there, I have Marvel Comics movies references. Since this Avengers movie's coming out in a month or so called Endgame, it occurred to me to ask, what is the end game of the pro-vaccine religionists, those that want all of us to worship at the same church as them, the Church of Pharmaceutical Mysticism? They're working on mandates on the state level. Now there are hearings on the federal level. Is their end game to literally tie us down and forcefully inject us against our will, or take our children away and imprison us? Or is there something in between that they're incrementally working toward in violating fundamental freedoms and health sovereignty of the people?
Robert, before I answer that, I'm sure the people that are watching right now on Instagram or Facebook are wondering, what the hell is he doing right now? I'm trying to get this thing situated so that the camera is, like, you know, working better than the way I've got it set up right now. But My response to your question is actually, I think that you and I are very much on the same sheet of music as far as what our belief system is regarding this particular issue, right? Mm-hmm. And that issue is really that the end game comes down to a very dark and sinister type of scenario, which is human population control. That's what my belief system is now. Am I wrong? You know, what do I base that on? If you look at the science mm-hmm. clearly, I mean, if the science couldn't be any clearer. I mean, if it was tattooed on their forehead, it couldn't be any clearer. The studies have been done ad nauseum. Even one of the videos that we posted in the Autism Truth video series had Dan Burton in 2002 asking the FDA, are you aware of and did you hear the testimony from the doctors and the researchers from all over the world regarding the effects of thimerosal? He asked, are you aware of the 1,500 studies that have been done to show the conclusive proof that there's an issue with mercury and how it causes problems within the human system? And of course, the response to all these questions that Dan Burton asked was in the affirmative. The FDA, you know, acknowledged that they were aware of it. This is back in 2002, so we're talking 17-year-old information. This is not anything new. But again, if you start looking at history and you start realizing how this all plays out, if you continue to repeat something over and over and over again, the mass population will think, obviously, that, you know, it desensitizes them to it. Mm-hmm. I can't even express this to you adequately in words, but there's a book, as we talked about before, by Andy Andrews called How Do You Kill 11 Million People? And when you read that book, it makes you think, oh, my God, you know, they're talking about all this stuff that was happening in World War. The difference between World War II and now that's happening, it's virtually identical. It's the same type of scenario, except that this time it's on a much bigger scale. Before, it was targeting certain people, certain ethnicities, certain religious groups. Now it's
everybody.
They don't have any qualms against anything. It has nothing to do with racial. It has nothing to do with ethnicities. It has nothing to do with geographical boundaries. It all has to do with population control. And for some reason, I mean, again, you know, I'm kind of surprised we're even talking about this on the air, because usually we kind of refrain from talking about this type of stuff.
We're just getting warmed up, Dr. Batar. Who are you kidding?
Well, you know, I've made a post today. It's video number 10, the Autism Truth video series. All of them have actually been released, but these are the smaller versions for Instagram, and I released it today. It was just maybe about an hour ago. And the message that I said, I've never said this out publicly, and I felt that probably it would make some people cringe a little bit, but I really truly believe that right now, at this moment in time, there is a reason that we're seeing this last death struggle with the vaccine industry. I think we've hit the peak of autism. I believe if we haven't hit the peak yet, we're very close to hitting the peak. And I think from this point on, it's going to start getting better. And the reason is because the children that are being affected by autism, they're the brightest, they're the cognitively most superior group, they're the most beautiful, they're the most endearing of all the children on the planet, I believe, okay? And having had three children myself and having treated many children with autism, I truly believe that these children are cognitive. The children that are susceptible to autism, they get autism, mercury toxicity on board of physiology that has the inability to excrete, essentially, that these children are cognitively superior to than their peer group. They are more endearing. They're beautiful. There's so many great things, but they're also very challenging. They're very difficult to deal with. They're painful to deal with them. And the reason that this is the case, the children are a message to us, to mankind, to humanity, and to teach us
unconditional love.
Unconditional love, okay? Yeah. To teach us patience, to tolerance, to teach us that we need to learn to accept. And it also is a wake-up call, right? Because this is not just with kids. It's to do with entire population on the planet. It's entire to do with Mother Earth. We're polluting children. We're polluting the population. We're polluting the Earth. And it's a wake-up call that if we are, one, we take responsibility for this, for what we've done, and two, we hear the message, which is patience and tolerance and unconditional love, that things will start changing, and they will change for the better. So I believe these children are a message from wherever the message is coming from. And, you know, some people may think I'm really out there on left field. Well, you already know, Robert, I already am out there in left field. So, and, you know, if it comes to being politically correct, I've never been politically correct. So I think I'm right in my normal place that I'm supposed to be. And this may be an uncomfortable thing for people to hear, too. But remember, I mentioned this in the post, too, that when we start to talk about things that are uncomfortable, it denotes a change. And change is evolutionary. We can't evolve unless we change. And change is almost always uncomfortable. In fact, usually it's painful. So this is why we're going through this painful period right now. That's why there's this almost, you know, polar opposites of attacking each other. But we are responsible for giving the voice to our children. And that's what we're doing. So what we're labeled as anti-vaxxers, I would say that we should be, you know, my old thing is not that I'm anti-vaccine, I'm anti-stupidity. But really, if anything, we're pro-voice. Not pro-choice, but pro-voice, okay? I mean, I'm playing play a word. Because we want to give our children a voice. Their voice has been taken away from them.
I want to, you know, go back to the endgame context or concept. Because if their goal is to get more people to agree to be vaccinated, they're obviously going about it in the worst way possible. Because as you threaten more force, right, removing choice, we're going to mandate. What is the normal human response, even if you're for something? If they're going to force me to do it, well, I don't think I'm going to do it, right? So their goal can't be that they want more people to voluntarily take the vaccines, or else they would have, you know, appealed to intellect, right? Here are the studies. You can read them. They're right there, but they don't have them. So they've been devolved into screaming matches. Peter Hotez, one of the vaccine sycophants, attacked moms today who are basically moms of vaccine-injured children, and he called them useful idiots for the anti-vaxxer lobby, as if we actually have a lobby. We've got a lot of independent people who have learned the hard way that these things can be deadly and very dangerous and not, in fact, helpful to the immune system. Is their goal, then, to take everybody who now no longer wishes to vaccinate because they've seen things that they didn't, well, they're not happy about, they've seen them, and they're never going to change their mind anyway. You know that. So what is their goal, their end game? Is it to then strap everybody down who disagrees with vaccines and forcefully, violently inject them and their children or imprison them? I ask this with great sincerity. What are these people thinking? Now,
here's the thing, Robert.
Go ahead.
One of the things is that you've described the populace of the planet very appropriately when you describe them as sheeples, okay? The majority of the world, they're sheeples. And what's happening is more of these sheeples are waking up, and they're starting to see the difference between the red pill and the blue pill. And they're awakening, they're evolving, they're understanding. And so now the problem is that in the past, the system has always been designed to herd them into a concentration camp. Or, you know, when we say that, we think of, oh my God, what the Germans did to the Jews in Europe. But look, we in the United States did the same thing to the Japanese, right?
There were internment camps. At least there weren't ovens, but yes, I mean the whole idea of removing the rights, that are inherent in our Constitution don't come from the Constitution, but come from God. This is always concerning to me because when there is what they call necessity or an emergency, they suspend law, right? The rule of law. Under the rule of necessity, there is no law. And if they can round up Japanese Americans and put them into camps, how long will it be before they say the anti-vaxxers are a threat to everybody else and they're trying to demonize and ostracize and dehumanize those who disagree with the vaccine agenda?
Well, here's where they've got a flaw, though. See, this is what I was going to point out. So, and I wasn't trying to minimize the issue during World War II, but I mean, I was going to go on with examples from Rwanda with 2 million
right.
people, you know, black on black. African on African violence, and only because of height or I don't know what their racial cleansing thing was. So it's really a factor of man going out there and doing these things, and again, like you said, demonizing and ostracizing and creating mass chaos and havoc and killings, etc. But here's one of the things that I've realized: you can mess with a lot of things with people. You can mess with their rights. You can mess with their life. You can mess with their property. You can mess with everything. But when you start messing with people's children, this is where they made a tactical mistake. Because I will put up with pretty much anything. I will put up with abuse from the system. I'll put up with abuse from, family, from friends, from neighbors, from whatever. I'll mouth off. I'll do this and that. I may stand up. You cross the line with my kids, that's a
yes.
totally different thing. That is enough. For me to, I mean, very clear, and I think that I speak for probably 99.9% of parents out there, regardless of whether they're pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine, pro-vaccine, I think I speak for 99% of parents that they would lay down their life for their child, and that's where we're at right now, Robert.
That's the point, too, of what some of this agenda is in destruction of the family, to say, Mom and Dad, you have no control over your kids. The government owns them. And if they can convince enough families to give up their kids to the state, of course, the protection is gone.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
In all my years of radio, I've never seen anything like this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
So our friend Sayer G has a great article up at GreenMed Info. We have it linked in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. Measles, the new red scare. Kind of a funny play on words because of the red bumps and measles. But it isn't about that. It's about back in the day, everybody was a communist hiding under a rock trying to overthrow the government in America. But today, I say they have come out from behind the curtain, the Ocasio-Cortez socialist wing, the Bernie Sanders socialist people. Socialists are collectivists by definition. And those who are pro-vaccine today have to recognize that they also are collectivists and or slash communists because they're willing to sacrifice you and me for a greater good of what they call herd immunity, which has never actually been achieved because how many adults have gotten booster shots over the last 10, 15, 20 years for MMR, which doesn't last. They acknowledge it. You need booster shots. So their 95% or whatever fictitious number has never been achieved. And their argument that, well, that's why we need to mandate, right? Well, where have been all the outrageous measles outbreaks other than isolated here and there, which out ebbs and flows every year? It's a little bit here, a little bit more, a little bit less. That doesn't change. The arrogance of man to say we've eradicated measles or any disease, including smallpox, they just rename it. But the arrogance of man almost knows no limits, Dr. Bittard. I know you know that well. But in order to believe in the vaccine agenda, you have to be a collectivist. You can't defend individuals' right to life, liberty, property. You're willing to sacrifice them because you don't know if that one vaccine is going to be one that kills that one child. And it has happened. $4 billion have been paid out to vaccine injured families, children, and even killed ones. So what do we say? Individual liberty or communism?
This is obviously a rhetorical question, but this is the problem with that socialistic type of thought process. And if men and women, if the human population was the same as sheep, then I think socialism and communism would be phenomenal processes, because they really do have.
It works for sheep.
Exactly. That's the thing. There's some great principles behind it, but the problem is you've got the human factor, and you will always have somebody that strives for more, that strives for better, that wants to make it faster, make it better, make it stronger. Without that drive, we would still be sheep in a paddock, and there would be some other type of being that would be hurting us, right? So man has that factor to want to excel, to want to improve. And when you have that component in place, you cannot have the socialistic, communistic governance in place, because it basically is antagonistic and counterproductive to how man has been programmed, how man is designed. And so the problem is that when you start looking at these violations of rights, whether it's a violation of religion or whether it's a violation of whatever you want to put in there, these are all fundamental rights that we all have, and we know about how the U.S. Constitution is the reason the U.S. is the greatest country is because of the Constitution, because of what our forefathers predicted 250 years ago. But now when we start talking about the vaccine issue, it's almost like everybody's forgotten that fundamental right for sovereignty. Sovereignty starts with your own body, right? And it's completely forgotten. And the freedom to choose, and freedom of speech, and freedom to bear arms, and freedom to choose chocolate versus vanilla when you order a milkshake, or whether you want to get a vegan burger or a beef burger, or whatever the case is, these are all rights that we have, choices that we have. These are our fundamental rights. But if somebody seems to have forgotten that the right to take a needle with foreign substances and toxic substances to stick in your body to prevent a disease, that's not a big deal anyway. And even if it was, how do we know that those measles, the way that God designed the immune system, that measles, when you get measles or you get the chicken pox, it's designed to train the immune system so that when, God forbid, you need it, it's ready to do, ready to function. It may prevent cancer later on in life or any other types of issues, which now we have a rampant issue with cancer and heart disease, as we know. So we don't. You said arrogance of man. Man is so unbelievably arrogant and so pompous and so assumptive in what they do. And then the problem is that those that really are aware, Robert, they don't really talk about this. They pay the little trolls to go out there and do this. So it's nothing more than a marketing type thing, right? But they have forgotten that these are people out there that are getting more and more aware. They're more evolved. They're more intelligent. They're starting to understand they've been harmed, and they're not going to tolerate it. And that tipping point is fast approaching, and they realize it. And that's why the death struggle has gotten so violent now.
Well said. And, this is why it isn't even really, when you step back, it isn't really about vaccines good or vaccines bad. That's secondary to the real issue. Freedom good, freedom bad. You got to decide. Do you have the right to defend your life and your children's life? Even if others disagree with your choices, as long as you're not violently forcing them to live the way you want to live. The false argument, though, is that people who are otherwise healthy are somehow a danger to those who can't be vaccinated.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Rocking the health world to the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, folks, health, freedom, healing, liberty, always on the line here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We take it up a notch with advanced medicine once a week with Dr. Rasha Bitar. Links are up in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. You can get email alerts. Also, advancedmedicine.com is a great resource, including a private association, so to speak, called the IADFW, that allows Dr. Bitar and I to communicate even more forthrightly, directly, without censoring ourselves because of this issue called public domain versus being in a private room, so to speak. Although the irony, of course, with the social media is that they're claiming that, for instance, in social media, you could have a private group and they now want to suppress what you talk about in their private group. So we have to establish more direct links, direct communication links through this show, through IADFW and Dr. Bitar. That was the reason for setting it up.
Yeah, it actually was, and we set this up a couple of years ago, actually 4 or 5 years ago. But the thing was that we didn't anticipate, at least I didn't anticipate it was going to get this bad, but it's perfectly situated, and I have gotten actually quite a few interesting accolades about the way it's been set up. So unfortunately, they can't contest that, Robert, because it's only held up by 72 different Supreme Court cases. And so it comes down to the right to, you know, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, or freedom to associate. So
yes, exactly. And you've got to be strategically ahead of the game, like 10 steps. That's how the bad guys do it. So we want to help you, again, to recognize that the power to heal is indeed yours. It's a gift from God, whatever you perceive God to be, but not government. If you feel like you're a creature or child of government, you're probably listening to the wrong show. All right. With that, go ahead.
Robert, before you go further, I just want to say one thing. You know, when you guys hear Robert say the power to heal is yours, and I wish I could lay claim that that's the phrase that I came up with. Obviously, I didn't. Robert was saying that long before I came along. But those words, the power to heal is yours, if you just listen to the resonance, it's almost like, maybe people won't understand what I'm going to say, but it's almost like, you know, when you hear the word Hugh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rob,
yes.
You know what I'm talking about. Okay.
There's
a resonance to those words. The power to heal is yours. And if you just listen to those words and you understand that, because our system, what those words don't really get across to the listener is that our system is actually designed to do exactly that. Is to heal. And all we have to do is get the hell out of the way. But we have gotten so much in the way with all the things that we do and then all the pollutants that are in our body. So that's all, in fact, our philosophy is detoxification. We're just getting all the chemicals and the metals and, you know, all the different, all the seven toxicities out of the way. We just need to get out of the way and allow the body to heal, because that truly is the essence. The body is designed to heal. And actually, at the Advanced Medicine Conference we've got coming up, Dr. Lipton's going to be there. He's going to be talking a lot about belief, which is something that, you know, is very important, Robert, that you and I've talked about before. So anyway, that wasn't supposed to be a plug for the Advanced Medicine Conference. But if you're listening to this and any of this stuff makes sense to you or resonates with you, be at that conference. Please be at that conference.
Please, please, please. And that's Memorial Day weekend in Pasadena. We'll give you more details on it a little later in the show. Also, a special shout-out to our mutual friend, Ann Archer Butcher. Happy birthday to you, Ann, author of Inner Guidance, good friend, and she's done a lot to acknowledge that recognition, if you will. I say recognize that, just that power to heal, that power, its connection, and all of that. And however you find it, we want you to find it. So with that, let's see if we can respond to a listener question.
Excuse me, I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Da-da-da-da-da. This one comes from Mike in Louisville. That's Kentucky, for those of you who don't know. Hi, RSB and DB. That's Dr. Bitar. Mike actually wrote that. DB, that's cute. We call him Dr. B. But I was listening to your show from last Monday, and you both were talking about eliminating waste from your mouth to Uranus. And he spelled it like the planet Uranus. We had that good joke last week. LOL, he says. My fiance has always had problems eliminating waste, i.e. going number two. She even said that it has been going on for as long as she can remember. She is on her third days without going. She takes no prescription drugs. We eat organic as much as we can, drink water from a Berkey filter, etc. Is there a supplement or anything else that she can do to help this issue? Thanks for all the help that you both can give, and we really appreciate all you both do for us, Mike and Louis. Well, Mike, I feel for your wife here, is what you said, because I was hospitalized with constipation as a child. I am not kidding. It was that bad. Not everybody was as bad as I was as a kid, but a lot of people are sluggish in their elimination patterns, Dr. Bitar. And I've said this over the years. If you want to find out if your doctor is a good doctor, ask him how many bowel movements he has a day. And if he recoils in horror, find a new doctor.
Yeah, I agree with you. So as far as advice, again, we can't give you medical advice per se, but this type of scenario, if this was something that I was dealing with a patient, you know, your first of all, the head map, that's what's designed to figure out functionally what's going on, what's causing the issue in the first place. But the simple things that, Rob, did you want me to go ahead and answer that and then you go in?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said, this is not advice, this is just information. We're just talking about things that we have utilized and done, and that's the point for this show at this point, to be providing options for you to consider.
Right. And, you know, everybody, hopefully they understand why we can't give advice, because, you know, we're not practicing medicine over broadcast, and so take it for whatever it's worth. if you say the water will cure your dehydration, the FDA is going to have an issue with you. And if anybody would say that's ridiculous, well, then talk to the FDA people that came to my lab and use that very example telling me that, hey, if you say that water cures dehydration, you've just made a drug claim on water. These are the two PhDs that accompanied the rest of the FDA, whatever squad you want to call it, when they came in back in 2012 to our lab. So what I'm trying to get across here is that take it for whatever it's, whatever the intention is. You can't construe it as medical advice. But here's what a normal person should do to try to alleviate that issue. I'm trying to say this, make sure that I say it politically correct. Okay, the first thing is, you said you're already drinking water. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Increase the amount of water. Sometimes people say, hey, can I drink too much water? Is there such a thing as water overdose? Yes, it's called drowning. If you're not drowning, you're good to go. Keep on drinking more water. Second thing is exercise. Start walking. Start using the bouncers. Use those K1 machines. Use any type of activity. Increase the level of activity. Anything that's, when you're moving, any type of activity will help the peristalsis activity in the intestinal system. It'll promote it, all right? The next thing, do not take the laxatives that are out there, because they cause the catharsis from irritating the bowel lining, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to take things like, I mean, once or twice is fine, but you don't want to start becoming dependent on some of these things, because their mechanism of action is to irritate the gastrointestinal lining, which then causes an increase in motility. You don't want that, because then you become dependent on it. Okay, the types of things you would want to do then would be maybe take magnesium sulfate, costs $1.50, very, very cheap at Walmart, or take magnesium sulfate is one thing, and the other thing is vitamin C, effervescent vitamin C. So you're going to get a beneficial. We as a population are deficient when it comes to vitamin C, when it comes to magnesium. And we can all benefit from vitamin C. So those two things, vitamin C and magnesium, will cause a loosening of your bowel movements. They will not cause a dependency. They won't cause a dependency where your gut now needs that irritation to get going. Exercise and water, and I don't think you'll have that much of a problem. And, of course, if you do, then go to the AHEAD map, and it'll tell you exactly what type of detox you need. And you go through that process. It normally takes 30 days, and most people, 95% of the people get better within 30 days.
And I would ask Mike, what are you eating? You could say it's mostly organic, and that's great, but what is it, right? It could be organic food that has no fiber in it, right? Lacking. I mean, there's any number of possibilities there to consider. You've got to find, you know, some level of raw vegetation and, you know, the fruits and vegetables concept. Some people say, well, I eat only organic raw meat. Well, okay, if you do well with that. Again, diversity, eating the rainbow, not Skittles. But the I agree. I was going to go right to water with you, as well as the magnesium, although I'm 100% whole food guy. You could take magnesium to bowel tolerance, and it'll cause you to have diarrhea. I can take less of the 100% whole food magnesium, and I can have the same benefit without causing the irritation. It's not the same kind of irritation like Cascara Sagrada or even Senna, which are commonly used as dietary supplements, and they're more aggressive medical drug treatments that irritate and force the thing to move on. Now, when I was in the hospital as a child, my dad worked for the CB Fleet Pharmaceutical Company. So it was a radical intervention, something called an enema. It was a traumatic experience for a young boy. I was like, oh, man. You know, as I joke, who knew later on in life coffee enemas would become, oh, that's pretty cool. But the idea here, of course, is cleaning up what goes into your system, correcting the function. And there are herbs that can correct function. There are homeopathic remedies that can also help along those lines. But I agree, magnesium is key. And I would recommend, with that clean water every night, every morning, taking some magnesium.
Yeah. And the whole reason for the mention of the vitamin C and the magnesium was because we don't want to take things where the body now requires that to have a bowel movement. But you can get a benefit there, and it helps to at least temporarily start to loosen up the bowel movement so that the body can start passing. That's just to kind of get, you know, training in the right direction.
Exactly.
Just doing that by itself, becoming dependent on it, you don't want to do that. But, you know, usually constipation is secondary to, like what you said, Robert. It's a lifestyle issue. It's what you're eating. Some people can tolerate an all-organic meat diet and have no problem. Other people have to have, you know, a couple of bucketfuls of vegetables in order to have a normal bowel movement.
So, and that is important. Bioindividuality, exactly. And we pay attention to that. That's not one size fits all, although we agree it needs to be clean. All right, now, speaking of not clean, how about chemical pollutants in the home? There's an article here, and it's out of the University of Nottingham, which I think that's Robin Hood's home, if I remember that, the Sheriff of Nottingham. New research by scientists there suggests that environmental contaminants found in the home and diet have the same adverse effects on male fertility in both humans and in dogs. Now, never one to claim men are dogs. Some say men are pigs, but in this case, men are dogs or like dogs because it's impacting fertility for both species and the male version of them.
We know that a lot of the chemicals that are out there have a xenoestrogenic type activity. And estrogen, we have an estrogen dominance in our society right now. Is that the angle that they're going on this article, Robert?
Well, they're finding concentrations in their body, in their emissions, so to speak, of these environmental toxins and the impact on sperm motility, sperm count, etc. So specifically, and of course, there can be estrogenic effects. I don't know if they're actually referencing it, but they're actually acknowledging the DNA damage done by these toxic chemicals.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that, that's been done. There's been quite a few studies that have been talking about the reduction of fertility, even the reduction in penis size in many different species. And that was, I think, tied into the organophosphate causing the xenogenic effect.
So,
I don't know about this, but it's the same.
All right, boys and girls, especially boys, be careful what you have in your house. Make sure it's clean and organic, and I don't mean organic chemicals.
Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things?
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert will be right back.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, each week, once again, we do advanced medicine with Dr. Rashid Batar. AdvancedMedicine.com, RobertScottBell.com. We've got the big one coming up, and that's the Advanced Medicine Conference Memorial Day weekend in Pasadena, Los Angeles, California, 25th, 26th. That's a Saturday, Sunday. We'd love to see you there. We've got discount tickets available for a limited time. Please take advantage of that. Plan ahead your Memorial Day holiday in the Southern California region, and we'll all be there. We don't have the Health Freedom Expo out there yet, so let's get together and do an Advanced Medicine Conference. Anything else you want to add into the mix on that upcoming event? You just did the webinar on defining autism. How did that go?
It went very well, and I got a couple of comments saying that Dr. Batar, there was no pitch, there was nothing there, there was nothing to buy or anything. And actually, I just wanted to get the information out there. We were going to have the autism defined program available, which hasn't been completed yet. But the program itself was really well received, and of course, it was the impetus behind the Autism Truth videos, the 11 videos that we put out. So I'm glad that that's made a difference for a lot of people. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback on that. And we are doing another webinar on March 14th, but that's going to be a really big one. I'm going to make the announcement here in the next couple of days. It's only 10 days from now, but the last time when we did this, when we announced it, in 4 days, we had like over 2,000 people that registered. So it's going to be something that everybody's going to be excited about.
Well, and that's what's interesting about knowing events far, far in the future. Apparently, people like to act really late in the game. Although with an event like the Advanced Medicine Conference, you have to be there physically. We want you there, so plan ahead for that. I recognize these online webinars and things. It's like within a day or two, people go, oh, I'm going. So that's fine. But try and get your tickets, please, as early as possible. Take advantage of the ongoing early bird discount, so to speak. Now, there are other upcoming events. You go to robertscottbell.com. There's an upcoming events tab, or it's in the notes as well. You could scroll down and see them there. But we have one more segment to go. And, of course, nutrition is key here. And it's interesting when the medical profession finally adopts something that they should have never abandoned. And that relates to nutrients, minerals, fats, essential fats, amino acids, all of these things, and how they impact brain and neurological health and how that manifests as what they call a psychiatric disorder, mental disorder, emotional disorder, but how much of it is really due to deficiencies that are brought on even prior to that from heavy metal toxicity, Dr. Batar?
Well, heavy metal toxicity, the DVD that we put out, I don't know, 15 years ago that you narrated, Robert, it's called Heavy Metal Toxicity, the Hidden Killer. So I believe that the issue of heavy metal toxicity as a subject on its own, it's probably the greatest endemic issue affecting health on the planet, and that has been virtually ignored by medicine. So heavy metals in themselves are not recognized for causing many of the deleterious issues in physiology. And I think if people were to recognize that and realize that, and medicine were to start addressing that, I think that we would have a significant reduction in pathology.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, we've talked about this, I don't want to say ad nauseum or something, because we can't say it enough, and you wrote about it also in the 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away. But mineral displacement is a very real thing. If you're heavy metal toxic, it pushes out minerals that are to some degree used to protect you or just for normal metabolic functions. And so you're going to have deficiencies that may have preceded it to some degree, but even made worse by it. But if you do not remove actively the burden, you can throw all of those wonderful things in there and they might have only a limited impact. And so when we talk about these psychiatrists, talking about nutritional psychiatry, it'll only work as well if they acknowledge what you have discovered, or I say discovered, but you certainly acknowledge and work with in your practice all these years, that the heavy metals like mercury are devastating, devastating. And it's not just enough to say, oh, let's put nutrients in.
You're absolutely right, Robert. So the heavy metals, as we've discussed this before, but I'll just summarize it real quick. Heavy metals, obviously, first mechanism of action is oxidative stress. The second one is displacement of minerals. And the third one is the allergenicity, which is quite a bit lower incidence than the first two. But you can do all that you want to do by replacing the minerals in the body, but unless you get the garbage out, it's like saying, well, I've got a fire situation here. It's like, well, it's on fire. You know, I've got this oil well situation. I'm going to try to put the oil wells out by just dousing them with fire. Well, you know what? If you cut off the supply of the fuel to the oil well, it's going to be a lot easier for you to cut off the problem, which is the fire. So if you've got an ongoing source of fueling that fire, it's going to be very difficult for you to eradicate it. And that's what it comes down to. Minerals are important, just as important. But unless you take care of the metal issue first, the minerals are just going to give you a false sense of security.
Yeah, we want fuel for healthy metabolic functions, not fuel for disastrous inflammatory cascades resulting in neurological degradation, brain damage, and otherwise. Heal the gut, heal the brain, all of that. We're out of time. Dr. Bitar, tell them what they need to know, because we got to go.
That the power to heal is unequivocally yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.